Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. This is your host, Ryan.
And I am Dak.
And we are once again without our compadre, Randy, who is taking some much-needed time off.
Yeah. Yeah. We mentioned this on our last show. He's had a couple of busy weeks back-to-back-to-back. And so, again, he put in a PTO request. We approved it. So he's taking the morning off to be with family and get some things done around the house.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, if this is your first time joining us, hey, go on, hit the follow button. That way you know when these episodes drop every week. Every Wednesday we're dropping new episodes. Check us out on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. That way, it helps us grow this podcast. So anyway, we got a fun topic this week. Maybe a little nostalgic topic. And Dak, you put it perfectly earlier. What do we call on this topic?
So I think it'd be fun to do a little series. It won't be a back-to-back-to-back weekly series, but it'll be something that we just kind of drop in every few episodes. And I call it our 8 things we love the most about. So
8 things we love the most about, and then insert something.
Yeah.
Insert land, park. Okay. But today we're talking about 8 things we love the most about
Main Street.
Yeah, Main Street, USA. Yeah. All right. I'm going to get a little teary-eyed.
Yeah. So Main Street is one of those like nostalgic places that can invoke a lot of emotion in you. If you're a big Disney fan and love going to Disney World, Disneyland, every park has a Main Street. In any of the Disney parks around the world. And I think it's because it's a staple of the parks, right? Like you have to have a Main Street. That was a big thing for Walt. He wanted his parks to have a different feel than other amusement parks. And so part of that creation was having this main thoroughfare that kind of introduced you into the parks. So I think it's a great place for us to start on our 8 favorite things, or 8 things we love the most about whatever.
Main Street. Awesome. Let's get into it.
All right. So want to just go back and forth, and we'll just kind of start naming some of the things that we love the most. For me,
I wonder how many of ours are going to cross over.
Yeah, they're going to.
Probably gonna a lot. Yeah.
For me, what kind of jumped off the page at first is, and I just kind of mentioned a little bit of the history of Main Street, but one of the things that I love the most about Main Street is that it has, for the most part, remained mostly untouched. And what I mean by that is, if you've never been to the parks, or if you've only been a few times, as you recall, you kind of walk in and you go underneath the train station. Let's back up one more step. Sorry. So you go through the turnstiles and check into the parks, and then you come in, and a lot of people are taking a picture right in front of it's the iconic picture of the Mickey Mouse floral, and then the train station right behind you. And so anyways, you walk underneath the train station, and then you're on Main Street, and there's kind of a city center, which there's different shops and different places there. And then as you kind of round the corner there, you head onto what I think most people would consider Main Street, even though the whole area is, but it's that main thoroughfare that kind of walks you up to the castle. And there's shops on each side of you. It's set, you know, everybody knows it's kind of set from the hometown where Walt grew up. And anyways,
It's this gateway to magic. You know, I love that, like you said, you go through the turnstiles, you scan in, and then you walk underneath the train station, and you're just filled with this like turn of the 20th century, you know, magic. It's just this amazing, amazing feeling that you get. I mean, it's like this super immersive environment. Like you just honestly feel like, and one of the big things that Walt always wanted was, I want people to come into my parks and then forget about what's outside the gates.
Yeah.
And you don't feel that more than when you walk through and get onto Main Street. You literally feel like, okay, this is a place that I've never been. It's, you know, it's beautiful, it's clean, it's charming. You can't see anything from the outside world at all. It just, it's amazing. It's this, like I said, this is just this gateway to magic.
Yeah. And I think what's great is that as different things evolve in the parks, different lands, different rides are being, you know, rethemed, we're seeing now, and different rides and attractions are being added to the park. New technology is coming in, and just mind-blowing technology in some cases. But what stays consistent is Main Street. You know, yes, maybe some of the shop names have changed over the years, and different sponsors have come in and, you know, sponsored different shop windows and so forth. But for the most part, that Main Street feel is always going to be the same. And I love that. I love that it's consistent.
And I think that can lead into probably what I was going to say next, which is the ambiance, right? Which is, you know, there's music playing, you can smell popcorn, you know, the architecture on Main Street is old fashioned, you know, it's grounded in reality, right? You know, the colorful paint schemes, it just kind of sets this tone for this world of fantasy that Main Street is. You know, there's the fire station, there's the old time barbershop, which, man, is that a rumor? Are they getting rid of the barbershop?
I haven't heard that, but they better not.
They better not. I've never gotten a haircut there.
Yeah.
Dak, you can't get a haircut.
Yeah, yeah. I could get a haircut,
but
one.
You could get a nice shave, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's those little things that, again, it's attention to detail, right? That the fact they even put this old-timey fire station with an old-timey fire truck. You can get a haircut on Main Street and Magic Kingdom. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think just that whole, like you said, there's a certain feel, an ambiance, a charm, whatever you want to call it. It's almost a romantic time from when, you know, this timeless moment where what I think is interesting is that here, I mean, it's set, like we talked about, early 1900s. So you have like horse-drawn vehicles being pulled up the street. You know, all the lampposts and everything. And we're kind of getting into the design of Main Street, but it just adds to that charm. All the decor is set in this time frame. And what I find interesting and wonderful about that is, you know, here our kids are. So we didn't grow up in that time, obviously. Here our kids are. They're growing up in the early 2000s, so 100 years down the road. And they love it. Like, they love that feel. I was asking my girls about it yesterday because I knew this was going to be one of our topics, but they love that charm and that feel of Main Street. There's just some type of magical ambiance that's being set there. You know, and it doesn't matter what time of day. We talked about in our last episode, one of our favorite things is Main Street at night. You know, when you get there and it's all lit up, or you're coming back home, you're heading back to your resorts or hotel or whatever from the long day, and you just kind of are strolling down Main Street at the end of the day. It's magical. There's no other way to describe it. The lights, the feels, the sounds, the smells, they're really coming at all of your senses. And so, yeah, I agree with you. The ambiance of Main Street has to be on your list of the top 8 things.
And it's a good thing that they don't have benches on Main Street.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, for me personally, I'd probably take a bench and sit there for an hour, just soaking it all in, the ambiance, the smells, the music. You know, I'm not a big parade guy, but if I had a bench to sit on, I'd probably sit there and watch the parades. You know, it's probably pretty strategic that they don't have benches because I don't think people would move.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's such a fun place. Dude, that's one of the reasons why we like to go down to, like, so we live here in Houston, but we're just south of Houston and we're not too far from Galveston. And Galveston has a lot of that same architecture, that turn of the century Victorian style architecture. So one of our favorite things to do as a family is to go down to Galveston and kind of reminisce about, and to kind of, again, kind of see that style of architecture that you find at Disney. Again, it just kind of plays into this whole, you know, this charm and this ambiance that it's really hard to find that anywhere else.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I agree. And I think what's interesting, again, we've kind of talked about this, is like that feel is replicated over and over again as you go to different Disney parks. So Disneyland has the same feel, right? That Main Street feel. When we were in Paris, I was wondering, I was a little bit curious, is this going to feel like, is Main Street going to feel like Main Street in the United States? And it absolutely does. It just, there's something about that magical feel of coming through. And maybe this is a good lead into our number three, which is design. But there's just something magical about coming through the turnstiles and underneath the train station or wherever it is that you're coming through. And you turn the corner and there's the castle and you see Main Street lined. And it's just, it's a great feeling.
And let's not forget, that's where they have the flag retreat.
Yeah.
Every day around 5 o'clock or so, which is a really, again, we've talked about it before. It's one of those kind of moving experiences that, you know, they always find a retired service military member or somebody who's active duty to participate with that flag retreat. So it's really kind of a moving experience if you get to watch it. So again, Main Street is just one of those, like, man, we could talk about Main Street, just the ambiance. Anyway. Yeah. All right. So number three,
the design. So when we talk about design, we're actually talking about what the Imagineers did to create these feels that you get when you're on Main Street. So some of the things that I think a lot of people are familiar with is that forced perspective. So this is where the buildings are, you know, built to full scale on the bottom. As you go up to the second floor, it decreases in size a little bit. So the scaling comes down a little bit. And then the third floor is about half actual scale. And so,
you know what? You really can't notice unless you know that.
Yeah.
It's hard to notice it.
Yeah. It really plays tricks on your eyes to make you feel like you're walking down this street with three story buildings. And I kind of mentioned this just a minute ago. What's really great is the way the Main Street design is structured to have an open kind of area where there's a city hall, there's Tony's restaurant, and like you mentioned, the barbershop and the emporium and the confectionery and all these little shops and area where the flag is as well in that center area of Main Street. And then it literally funnels you and forces you to have your eyes and your motion and all of your direction go down Main Street towards the castle. Like, you can't miss it. There's no other way to get up Main Street and into the parks and into the different lands and head towards the hub without having that experience, right? It takes, again, the whole premises of Walt Disney's vision was that you were on this show stage, and in that moment, the main theme of the picture or the show that you're in is the castle, because it's forcing you to look up the street to see the castle. So I love it. I love that part of it.
And you had mentioned earlier too about, well, actually in the pre-show, about how the Main Street, the sidewalks are red.
Yeah.
That, you know, Walt wanted to roll out the red carpet for his guests. Also too, you know, back when they were designing the park, you know, they went to Kodak, the photographer. I mean, you and I are old enough to remember what
what Kodak is,
right? It's a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
You put a little roll of film in the camera. You would take pictures. You have to go take them to get them developed. Well, Kodak at the time, I mean, they were the experts in photography, right? They went to Kodak and said, "Hey, what color can we put on Main Street where visitors won't have to squint, you know, during daylight hours?" And they said red. And it's really going to pop in photographs. So, you know, again, the science or the imagineering behind it is the color red to, you know, kind of aid in photography and to aid into, hey, we don't want our people to squint. But also Walt's like, no. This is about rolling out the red carpet to our guests. So, hey, do you know that the fire station is number 71?
Oh, that's awesome.
You know?
So, yeah, no, I did not know that, but that's great, because 1971 is when the parks opened. So that's another little thing, is we could literally spend an entire episode just on Main Street and talking about all the details from the lampposts changing from, you know, gas lit lamps.
Dude, I was just about to go there.
Like, yeah. Electrical lighting and as that turn of the century started to happen and everything started to take place, there's just so many things. When the concrete was originally poured in, the edges were like your standard curb edges that had just a 90 degree angle. Walt came in, or whoever came in, I don't want to misquote here, but whoever came in and said, you know what, that's too rigid of a look. We want it to be nice and a soft approach. Mm-hmm. So they came back, knocked those out, rounded out the curbs and all of that so that it was a nice, soft. Again, the whole, you brought it up just a second ago, the whole idea is to get you out of that busy corporate work world and give you more of a softer, homier ambiance and charm feel as you, you know, head into the Magic Kingdom. One other thing I was going to bring up with the design before we move on too much is it just really cool thought process, right? So they, it's like they thought of everything. So as you're heading into the Magic Kingdom and up Main Street, there's a slight incline to Main Street. I think that helps your eyes and that forced perspective. But another little nod or little help is that, you know, first part of the day, you're full of energy, you're ready to go. You have the, you know, willpower to power through and start your morning. And so that little incline, you know, doesn't bother you as much. But when you're dog tired and you spent the whole day in the parks and you're heading back home, there's a nice soft little decline as you're going back down Main Street. And it's ever so slight. You're never going to notice it, but it's there and it just helps, you know, with again, thinking of everything that could go into a person's day at the parks.
Well, what's funny too, is that, you know, when you enter Main Street, you know, under the train station, you see the castle, and the castle looks humongous.
Yeah.
Right. You get up to the castle and you're like, oh, it's, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's 192 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's pretty tall, but it just, the appearance of it looks bigger when you're standing back at the entrance to Main Street. And again, it just goes to the whole forced perspective. It goes to, you know, creating this illusion that things are bigger than they really are. Dude, I love you brought up the lamps, how they are gas power lamps at the first part of Main Street. And as you progress downwards, they turn into electric. And that just symbolizes, you know, America's progression in technology.
Yeah.
Right. Dude, the shop windows on Main Street are lower so that little kids can window shop.
Yeah.
Like these little small details that that they thought of were just amazing. Like the some of the Easter eggs on some of the second story and third story windows, Ub Iwerks, the Walt's original business partner. Like there's nods and kind of homage to a lot of these original Imagineers and creators of Disney that you can see on these windows. It's just, the details, like you said, the details, the nostalgia, the, what the Imagineers did, what Walt Disney thought of, what Roy, it's amazing.
Yeah. That was actually my number four is the windows.
Oh, did I get it? Okay.
Yeah. No, you're good. You're good. So yeah, number four on our list of the eight things we love the most about Main Street is just the windows themselves. And so as you go down Main Street, you're going to notice on all of the shops, there's windows. They cleverly have tied different shop names and different businesses, quote unquote, if you can see me, I'm doing air quotes right now, different businesses within Main Street. And the names of the businesses are wrapped around the different Imagineers or different cast members and their role as part of or their involvement in the Disney story and how Disney World came to be, Disneyland came to be, what their influence was on the parks. Everybody from Walt Disney, Elias Disney, Roy Disney, you know, a ton of Imagineers. One of my favorite ones that he's probably not the most popular personage within the Disney history, but it's Card Walker.
Oh, yeah.
And so Card Walker has his window is the Justice of the Peace. And what's funny about that story is that Card Walker was kind of the go-between between the two brothers, right? So Roy and Walt, you know, Walt was the creative mind, Roy was the fiscal mind, and sometimes they would butt heads to the point of like, I mean, they're brothers. You have a brother, I have a brother. Like, you know, sometimes things can get heated between family members because there's that comfort level. And they would go where they were just like, Walt was ticked at Roy for not being willing to spend the money. Roy was ticked at Walt for, you know, trying to be too creative and spend all the money. And so the story goes that Card Walker would set up a meeting with each of them. He would tell Walt, hey, let's meet at 7 at my office. Then he'd call Roy, hey, let's meet at 7 at my office. They'd both show up not knowing the other one was going to be there. And Card would make them hash it out and get back on the same page. So Justice of the Peace is a funny little nod to him and his role within the parks. But there's literally hundreds of windows. And just if you go and look at each window, it's going to have a little storefront name and kind of their connection to what they did or what role they played, again, within either designing Disney World or designing some of the attractions. Tons of Imagineers, and just it's just fun. My daughter loved getting a picture. Just this is my last story. There's a casting agency door. It's a very Instagram worthy picture, and it's for people to stand in front of, like they're, you know, applying for or getting the casting job, you know, at Disney. And so my daughter Savannah wanted to have a picture in front of that, you know, where it showed her at the casting agency.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
That is a lot of fun.
All right, you got number five.
Yeah, number five. I'm going to say one of my favorite things about Main Street is the nighttime lighting concepts. And I think you could, let's throw in the hub as well with this. So again, we've talked about a lot on other episodes how Disney does nighttime right. They're just the masters of creating this magical ambiance, this magical atmosphere at night. And it's, one could argue that Disney is actually better at night. And really all the parks, yeah. Right? So I think for me, though, Main Street just has this, you know, even though it's modern technology, you know, it has this turn of the century feel, mm-hmm. with the lighting concept. Like they're not super bright lights. They are this kind of a yellowish amber type hue that it illuminates the way it's supposed to, but you're not overwhelmed by the brightness of the lights. And again, it just kind of sets this tone for the evening. Like you feel like you're walking through this old turn of the century town, Main Street, you know, kind of an old style lighting concept. And it just creates this, like, you don't feel, again, this is just personally speaking, like you don't feel pressured to do anything.
Yeah.
You just feel very relaxed. It's very comforting. It's not like the lights of like if you've ever been to Las Vegas, you know, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, they're bright. They're flashy.
It's just really overwhelming. This is the complete opposite of that. This is just almost like you're in your house and you turn on the lamp to read a book.
Yeah. Very soft glow to the lights I don't know what you call it, the brightness of them, like you mentioned. The one area of lights that I really like, and again, I mentioned this on our last episode, is that I want to copy, is they have these in the hub. So you mentioned the hub a minute ago. They have different trees that encircle the hub, and within all of these trees, they have these twinkling lights, and they're not Christmas twinkling. Again, I think a Christmas twinkling is a very quick, sharp, bright twinkle. These kind of like glow on and glow off and glow on and glow off. And so it creates this almost fairy dust type of feel to it. Another thing they do is right after Happily Ever After, they shoot lasers through it. And so that looks like, you know, a little firefly running through the trees and glowing. Again, you want to talk about just a magical, warm, inviting feel of being there. And just what I think is so interesting is you could just sit down on the ground and just look at the trees and the lights, and it's just so calming and so relaxing and so, again, so magical. The glow of the street lamps, the music in the background, it really creates a very calming and yet magical environment and ambiance that you just want to soak in and not walk away from.
I tell you, I love to be a fly on the wall during those, some of those design meetings where they're talking about, hey, how are we going to light this? Let's get our engineers and our Imagineers in here. Let's talk about how we're going to light up Main Street and the trees. And I mean, I'd love to know where they get those lights from. I know you've talked about you want to do that to your trees.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it'd be just cool just to be like an Imagineer and you're like, hey, you're in charge of lighting.
Yeah.
You know, which I'm sure that's a position. I'm sure that's a job there where they've got a guy who's thinking stuff up on how are we going to make this, you know, this incredible lighting scheme work. Like, I mean, that would just be so much fun.
Yeah. And we've talked about this as well. It's just, it appeals to, again, one of those senses, right? That draws you in and brings you into the story. And so lighting plays a big role in Disney's production of bringing you into the story. You said you wanted to lump this in, but I'm not going to let you. So number six is the hub for me. So the hub, for those of you who don't understand that reference, is as you come to the end of Main Street or the end of the buildings, it's going to open up again into this spoke wheel type of feel. And that is considered the hub. And what happens is as this spoke wheel develops, it's leading you off into each of the lands. So it's leading you off into Adventureland. It's leading you off into Tomorrowland. It's leading you off into Fantasy and Adventureland. And it was Walt's design of how he would help disperse the crowds in a very organized fashion. Now, I think since then, the hub has kind of taken on its own identity. In fact,
it absolutely has.
Yeah, there's Instagram and there's t-shirts where like my favorite color is hub grass green. And it's just this fun. It's kind of a garden area. As you go to different parks around the world, again, it very much becomes a garden area. So like Shanghai is entirely a garden area, but it's, again, it's its own identity as a connection to Main Street that just, again, creates the feels and the ambiance of just, I see people all the time just go out, sit in the hub, enjoy their lunch, chill, kids are running around playing. It's kind of like, again, that old 1900s families used to gather at the parks and there'd be a gazebo there and they'd just, you know, it'd be this social event. And I think that that's kind of what the hub represents.
Well, and the hub has evolved over the years
to the
point where it's at now. I think the hub right now, like you said, it's an amazing spot to just chill. I remember this was one of our guys' trips 3 or 4 years ago. It's the trip where you got sick and left early.
I'm never going to live that down.
No, you're not. Because I had booked an extra, because we knew Randy had to go home a day early anyway. Yeah, I had booked a day at the Pop Century. I'm like, you should just stay. You're like, nah, I don't feel well. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll go to Magic Kingdom by myself.
Oh, man.
But I do. It was like 80 degrees. I picked up some cheeseburger spring rolls and I sat there in the hub and just watched. It was a beautiful, you know, sunny day.
Yeah.
I just did some people watching for probably 30 to 45 minutes, just chilling in the hub. You know, they really have evolved it over the years to the point. And I think Disney recognized that this was a place that they probably needed to enhance to make it more of a gathering spot. I mean, obviously it's a great place. It's the best place to watch the fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but they really have done a good job of decorating, you know, with the grass and some of the structures they had built there. They've removed some of the trees that were there to make it more of a more of a welcoming and more of an open space for people to gather. So hub is a great place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great place to chill.
Absolutely. All right. What's your number seven?
Six or seven. What number are we at?
We're on seven.
Are we on seven?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Man, I'm going to say one of my favorite things to do again, it's at night, but walking down Main Street at night, when the park is almost empty.
Yeah.
This is not technically hard to do. If you're at Magic Kingdom, let's say you close the park out, right? You could be back at Gaston's Tavern. Now, Gaston's Tavern will have been closed for a couple hours by then, but that part of the park is not closed. You were able to walk and kind of take your time, mosey on down through the park after the park closes. Now, cast members will, you know, as you move down the park, they will kind of block the path so you cannot, you know, turn around and go backwards. But they're not going to rush you.
Yeah.
To get out the door. So for me, kind of, you know, taking that slow, leisurely walk, you know, down through the hub, kind of chilling there. You know, they do the kiss goodnight, which is the, you know, kind of a nighttime, after park closes show. It's, you know, a 3 to 4 minute experience where the lighting on the castle kind of changes. There's a little bit of a musical performance. It's one of those things that I just love about Main Street. And again, if you get a nice, maybe like a little bit of a nice rainstorm and the streets are wet and they're glistening, the lights are glistening off, you know, off the reflection of the water. It's just one of those moments. It's like, man, this is, you have the water fountain features there too in front of the castle. So you have the kind of the sound of rushing water. I think just being there at night, little to no people around you, is one of those experiences that if you haven't done it, you got to do it at least once. It's hard to do. Let me backtrack. It's not hard to do, but you have to kind of wait, 30 to 45 minutes after, you know, quote, the park closes, for you to kind of get that feeling. And a lot of times it's like, I'm just so tired, I just got to get back to my hotel or VRBO. The kids are going crazy. We just can't stick around just to hang out. I would say though, you know, try it at least once. It's an unforgettable experience.
Yeah. So my thing here would be a little pro tip is, if you can and you're willing to do it, get yourself a dining reservation for that or just after park closes. So as strange as this sounds, in some of the parks, you can get a dining reservation right as the park is closing or right before the park closes. So, for example, if the park closes at 10, you can book a 9:30 or a 9:45 dining reservation, and that will... Even though the park is closed and 80-90% of the people are out of the park, they will not rush you out of the restaurant. Kind of like what you mentioned before, they're not going to rush you down Main Street. And I think Holly did this, your wife did this, right? Where they just kind of let them walk down Main Street and take pictures, and no one was rushing.
Yeah, that wasn't too long ago that they were there.
Yeah. And so it's a great way to kind of, I don't want to say cheat the system, but kind of a Disney World hack is.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not cheating the system. I think they know this. They know this about their parks, is that people want to be there when nobody's there.
Yeah.
They want to be there late at night, which is why they offer the late. In addition to it being profitable, they're going to offer as many late dinner reservations as possible.
Right.
But yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, my wife Holly and her sister Jana Lynn were, it may have been last year, 2 years ago, they got a Be Our Guest reservation like at 9:30, 9:45, and they were almost by themselves as they were walking out of the park. And again, it's like the report is, it's just magical.
Yeah.
It's just magical.
Yeah, it's... There's something very unique and special about being on Main Street with little to no people around at night. Yeah. We've done it in the mornings. We've had early morning dining reservations at like Be Our Guest, and you kind of walk in before the park opens. This was back in the days where they would actually stop you at the gates, right? At the turnstiles. And so you got to walk up Main Street, you know, by yourself. And that is neat. But there's something special about
that. That's neat, but there's also a mad rush at that time. For a lot of people are like just rushing to get to the first attraction.
Yeah.
So, but at nighttime, you don't have that. You just have people who are like, I just want to chill.
Yeah, it's great. All right, here we are.
Number eight.
We should have counted down, because this truly is the number one.
Okay, so even though it's the eighth thing, this is the best. This is the number one thing.
Number one reason why we love Main Street is that you're home.
It feels like home.
Yeah. So we were talking about this in our pre-show discussion. To me, there's kind of a, so we always fly in. We've never drove to Disney World. I know you guys drive a lot into Disney World.
Yeah, we're drivers.
So there's a fun feeling of when you land at MCO and you're like, okay, we're here, right? Like we're at the airport. We've landed. We're in Florida. Vacation is about to get going. I think there's another special feeling for a lot of people as they drive underneath the Disney World sign. As you're coming in on World Drive and you're heading into the parks and you see the sign and there's Mickey there and all that stuff, and that's fun. I've even gone to other parks first before going to Magic Kingdom, but there is nothing that says I'm on vacation at Disney as when you walk through the turnstiles for that first time. You turn the corner and you see the castle, and everything we've talked about is like, okay, I'm home. I'm on vacation. We're back, right? Like, we are here.
Oh, I think you could even argue that it starts when you're on the monorail from the Ticket and Transportation Center.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see the castle from the monorail, and you see the people already who have disembarked from the boat or have gotten off the monorail who are already scanning their tickets. You're like, oh, I hate those people. They're ahead of me. You know, like, even though they're like 5 minutes ahead of you, like, they're enjoying home, Main Street, Magic Kingdom 5 minutes before you get to enjoy it. You know, and we talked about drivers. Like, for us, like, when we drive, I mean, we have flown to Disney before.
Yeah.
You know, we used to own a little vacation property out there. So driving just became part of our, you know, we would always hop in our minivan and drive out there and to haul stuff out there or to haul stuff back. Anyway, but for us, driving became part of that process, because when you cross into the Florida border from Alabama, there's this beautiful Welcome to Florida sign. It's all lit up. One of the most beautiful signs that I've ever seen as you're entering a state, you know. Mm-hmm. For us, it just kind of starts there. Like,
yeah,
there's something about Main Street and Disney. There's just something, there's the Florida humidity. Like, we live in Texas, there's humidity here.
Yeah.
Florida humidity just hits a little different for some reason, right? You get off the airplane at MCO, you walk outside, you're like, whoa, I can't breathe, but this is Florida. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Right. And to your point, man, just you walk in under the train station. You see the castle. You kind of start to experience all those things we've talked about on this episode, the smells, the sounds, the lights. You start to see, maybe you walk in, you hear the Dapper Dads or the marching band. You look over and you see, Tony's Town's, center square restaurant. You see the fire station, you see the Chamber of Commerce, you see all these places that are just like, you know, the confectionery, which smells amazing. You know, it's just one of those places that, it's hard to find outside of Disney.
Yeah. And I know I've mentioned this before, but what I think is unique about this is that it doesn't change when you go to a different Disney park. So when I've been to Disneyland, it's the same feeling, right? It's just that feeling of excitement and like joy, just pure joy. Like, as you turn the corner and you see the castle and you realize, okay, we're here. We're going to have a great day. Like,
yeah.
And then again, we've been to Disneyland Paris, and it was the same feeling. Like, there's an excitement. You walk through the turnstiles, you go underneath the little train station, and you start to head up Main Street, and you see the castle, and that feeling comes right back to you. And I imagine if you were in Tokyo or Shanghai or Hong Kong, the feeling would be the same. It's just, again, it's that nostalgic ambiance and pure emotional joy that comes to you as a Disney fan when you step on Main Street and you're like, okay, we're home.
You know, and it never gets old. I think it only gets better.
Yeah.
The more you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never, ever not felt that.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that. And I know we're running a little long here, but, you know, for a while there, we were going all the time, like our family. And at one point,
That's back when annual passes were
cheaper.
Yeah.
But my wife was like, you're going to lose the magic. Like, it's going to stop being so magical if you keep going this often. And I can say,
that's crazy thought.
It is. It's funny that you say that, but it is, right? Like, you would think, like, now we're getting off into a different topic and off of Main Street, but people all the time say, well, don't you want to go anywhere else? No, because I can't replicate this feeling that I get. I enjoy other vacations, but I can't replicate this feeling that I get when I step onto Main Street and I realize where I'm at. And all of, again, all of my senses are being bombarded. So that would be my closing thought on top eight reasons why we love Main Street is it's, you can't duplicate it.
Well, and I think too, let's, I mean, and maybe I'll wrap this up here with this, with a little bow. If you go back to Walt's original, and we've talked about this a ton. If you go back to Walt's original concept for Disneyland, he wanted a place where he could go with his daughters, where they could experience the park and the attractions together. Right. So, and I don't know if it's, well, it's not because you and I are both girl dads. You've got four daughters. I've got three daughters.
Yeah.
And it's like, there is something very magical about your little princesses in their little Elsa and Anna dresses, or, you know, Snow White or Belle dresses, as they hold in their hand, walking through Main Street, and you see their eyes just get super big and they're smiling. They're like, oh, I just can't, you know, they're like sensory overload.
Yeah.
You know? And now our girls are older. And you know, it's still very much fun to go there, but it's like, is that because we're girl dads? But no, Randy feels the same way.
Yeah,
I'm going to just speak on behalf of Randy here. He feels the same way with his boys. He's got four boys. I don't think he thinks any differently about Disney, about Main Street than we do, just because he doesn't have any girls. No, it is this universal feeling that if you, and I think, again, you have to let it, you have to embrace it.
Yeah.
You have to let it just, let it come to you, and don't be like, dude, you and I are, listen, we're pretty manly guys. I mean, we love sports. We're, you know, we work out. We're not like, you know, I don't want to like generalize us too much, but like, you know, we're just, you know, I think if you just go there and say, listen, I'm just going to let this affect me. I'm just going to let this happen. Oh, it's going to happen. They're going to get you. Right. And I think, again, one of the best feelings in the world is you're walking through, you see the castle, you see all the stuff, all the ambiance, the sounds, the smells going on. You're like, I'm home. This is home.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Anyway.
Well, fun topic. Could talk about Main Street all day long. Wanted to jump into a little bit of a magical scenario, but I got to give a shout out. If you don't follow, his name is Chris Provost, and he runs a YouTube channel called Provost Park Pass. And he has been a YouTube, I guess they call him vloggers. I don't know the official name. He's a YouTuber.
He's a vlogger.
He's been doing this for several years now, and he puts on some great videos, great information, great behind the scenes stuff. And
he's the guy wearing a white shirt and tie.
Yeah, he wears a white shirt and tie and shorts to the parks every day, and puts out these videos. Well, he's started this new series at Disney World. He's primarily a Disneyland guy, but he started a new series at Disney World, and he's doing 20 resorts in 20 days. So he's going to each resort, 20 different resorts each day, which is, yeah, it's got to be exhausting.
Yeah.
But he's doing a thorough review of each resort. And so Provost Park Pass, you got to check him out. And it got me thinking for our magical scenario, because he's gone to the parks a couple of times, but he's primarily spending most of his time at the resorts giving you a full review. So it got me thinking, could you go on a resort only Disney vacation? Could you only go to the resorts and never step a foot in the parks? If it was, and let's just enhance this. All expenses paid. I come to you. It's your birthday. It's Christmas. It's, you know, really important holiday like Arbor Day or Flag Day or something, you know, really special. And I come to you and I say, Ryan, I'm giving you an all expenses paid trip to Disney, but it's a resort only and you can't go in the parks.
Can I go to Universal?
Let's keep it resort
no
only.
Parks.
So you can only
resorts.
Enjoy the resort and all of the amenities that come with a resort.
Man, that'd be hard. It'd be hard to be, I mean, for example, if you're at, let's say you're at one of the monorail resorts, you're at the Polynesian, you're at the Grand Floridian or the Contemporary, and you outside your window is the park.
Yeah.
Is Magic Kingdom. Oh, that would be tough. It'd be tough to just to say, I'm just going to be here in the hotel all day. Now, granted, there's a lot to do, you know, in the hotels, and you can go outside the park, outside the resort area and do things, you know.
Yeah, you can go to Disney Springs. You can go cruise around Orlando and some of the other
there's some,
things
to do. You can go take an airboat tour and look at alligators and whatnot. Yeah.
But it's a staycation only at the resorts, and you can't go in the park.
works.
I think for me to be able to do that, it would have to be. So let me expand the scenario. Like, let's say I'm out there on a business trip for work, and I'm going to take a day. I'm going to tack on a day or two.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, all right, they've put me up at this one hotel in downtown Orlando. I'm going to go do 2 days on my own at the Polynesian. I don't think I could do more than 2 days.
Yeah.
It would just drive me crazy. I would have to go to the parks.
That's what I was going to say is yeah, I think I might 2, maybe 3 days, or, you know, the perfect scenario is you are going to the parks, but you take, you know, you're there for a week and you take 2 days that are resort only days. You don't go to the parks. You just rest and recover. Yeah. That's the perfect scenario. But to say that you're going to fly me out to Florida or ship me out to Florida and or even California, Anaheim, right? And you're right there by the parks. You're seeing them. You're getting all the Disney feels, but you can't go into the parks. I don't know that I could do that. I'm with you. I might last 2, maybe 3 days tops. I'll tell you what, I did have a business trip out there one time, and we just decided we were going to go to Disney Springs just to kind of get the Disney ambiance and feel. It was a killer. Like to go to Disney Springs and or a Disney resort and not be able to step into the parks and get the full feel. Yeah, 1, 2, 3 days tops.
It'd be worse at Disneyland because
Disneyland would be almost
what's
like
the is it
torture.
The Grand Californian that's attached to it, the park?
Like they, you're they literally have looking entrance. Out your back
yeah.
patio window area into Disney's California.
Yeah,
Adventure.
I remember so when we were there, you know, we went in the opposite direction to go get something to eat. So like you literally have your own entrance into the park.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just down the hallway from the lobby. Yeah. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, seeing the fireworks going off and it'd be pretty hard. Now, don't get me wrong. I absolutely, as part of an extended vacation, could have 2 or 3 resort days, but it'd be tough not to ever go to the parks. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, guys, again, hope you enjoyed the show. We certainly enjoy talking about Main Street here, our 8 things that we love about Main Street, this new series that we have come up with. So looking forward to doing more 8 things that we love about something, insert park or land. Anyway, thanks again.
Yeah, give us a like or follow on all the social media sites, and thanks for listening in.
Bye.